Brethren, we are the church of God that is being prepared for the return of God's Son back to this earth. We are the church of God is preparing for that Feast of Tabernacles when God's Son will be here upon this earth. And that is why we are called the church of God that is preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth to begin what we are here celebrating, this Feast of Tabernacles. To begin the millennium, to begin the reign of Joshua Christ upon this earth. And that will be the subject today, the millennium. God tells us of a wonderful time upon this earth, the millennium, when truth and righteousness will be restored to the whole earth. That will be the beginning, the millennium. And that is what it's about. And it's about a system that will be set up upon this earth so man can learn the correct way to live, the way that God instructs you and me to live today. So let's begin today in Zechariah chapter 8, if you'll turn over there. Zechariah chapter 8 in verse 4. That's where we will begin. And it's where God tells us about a time when we can see old men in the streets. And God tells us it's about a time when children will be playing in the streets once again, in safety and peace. It's not so today. All the parents of children today have to worry about the safety of their children. But God tells us of a time where children can play in the streets safely. And what that tells you and me, that it is a time of peace upon this earth. And it tells you and me that it's a time of safety upon this earth. So God tells us about this time. And God tells us that it's a time of truth. It's a time where mankind can learn the truth about God and His ways. And they can learn the ways that God has instructed you and me today to learn about His laws and the way that we are to live life when in this physical body. Let's look at verse 16. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16. And can you imagine what this one thing that we are about to read would do? Just this one thing that God tells us about in this book. Just to tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Can you imagine what that one thing would do? We cannot comprehend such a thing, not in this physical body. It's not possible for our minds to comprehend such a time when truth will be here. But God says there is coming a time when it will come to pass. And it's about this time that you and me are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennium, a 1,000-year rule of God's Son upon this earth to begin to bring the truth to man. And it says, speak truth. Speak truth to his neighbor. Give judgments in your gates for truth, justice and peace. It's unheard of. We have courts in America here that don't even know the meaning of truth and justice. We live in a system where whoever puts on the best show wins. And that's what they call justice. And you and me have experienced man's justice, the justice system that is upon this earth at this time. And we know how that worked out for God's church. But when God sets up His kingdom upon this earth, it will be truth and justice, in real peace forever, when God's plan is finished. So in Zechariah 8 and verse 17, we find that it affects the mind of man because it says, let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Some don't even speak to their neighbors anymore. They may nod and speak briefly. But we don't really know our neighbors. Most of us don't. And it says, let none of you think evil in your heart. Better say it in your mind. Against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Eternal. There will be a time upon this earth when the things that God hates will be changed. And the millennium is the beginning of that time. And it will begin to be changed at the time that we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And once Satan and the demons are chained, put in their prison, there will be 1,000 years of doing things God's way. And that will begin a wonderful time for man upon this earth. Verse 20. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people will yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city will go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Eternal and seek the Eternal of hosts. I myself will go also. So we can see that this is not a time here upon this earth. This is a future time that God tells us about when this will take place. And it is this time, the millennium, when this begins. And it says, verse 22, yes, many peoples and strong nations, let's notice, will come to seek the Eternal of hosts in the city of peace. The city that the great God of this universe dwells in His family, Jerusalem, the city of peace. That's what it's speaking about. And people will come to pray before the Eternal. That's how they will do. That's how it takes place. And let's back up look at verse 3. We find this time that God is telling us about. Thus says the Eternal, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. God's dwelling place. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth. So we can see God is telling us about a different time upon this earth. Man's mind will now be able to seek the great God of this universe, to do what you and me are doing now. And the reason they are seeking the Eternal is to learn more about their God. And that's what some will be doing, brethren. Going and seeking to know more about their God. But you and me have this privilege now. God is preparing a people for the kingdom of God through His church, the Church of God, PKG. That's how He's doing it at this time. He is preparing us for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And He is revealing the truth about Himself to a people that will be there during this millennial reign of God's Son upon this earth. Some to live into this millennium, and some to be a part of the 144,000. And God tells us that He is seeking such to worship Him in truth. The true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. And it will take place, and it should strike fear in you to have any other thoughts than to trust your God. Just as all those that have went before you and me. Christ told us that he who is of God hears God's words. And we understand that it's through the Spirit of God that He has given to each and every one of us. That's how you know, and that's how you understand. That's how you will understand what the millennium is about. John wrote about this, and he wrote, sanctify them by your truth. It's how you are set aside by that truth. And that's how you understand, is through that Spirit that God has given to you, through the Holy Spirit. And it's through the mind that God does it. And that is how you understand what God is doing and what He will do. You have understanding of what the millennium is about. And you understand what God will be doing during the millennium. And the millennium is the time when the great God of this universe will pour out His Spirit upon all of mankind. And then mankind can know who He is, who the true God is, and who His Son is. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 4. We know these scriptures by heart, but at this time of the year, it's good to go through this. God says of His ministry to give meat in due season. So let's notice, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Joshua the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Joshua's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, in our minds, better said. And let's notice why. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Joshua Christ. God tells us about this treasure that we have in these physical bodies. And what God has offered you is so valuable that it is priceless. That treasure that God has given to each and every one of us. And I hope everyone understands what they have been offered. And God likens it to a pearl of great price. And this is the time that that pearl of great price will really shine, because of that treasure that some will have completed. And they will be here during this millennial reign upon this earth of God's Son. So I hope everyone understands the treasure that they have received from the great God of this universe. Verse 8. This writer says we are hard pressed on every side. And we understand what this writer is saying, because it's kind of like a pressure cooker sometimes with the trials, the fiery trials that God says that we will have. But God will not allow us to be crushed. God would not let Satan overcome you and me if we stay close to Him. And that being would make mincemeat out of us if we did not have God's protection. And it says we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. We are. We've persecuted all of us because of what God has given to each and every one of us. But not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And we understand what this is saying. And down in verse 14, it lets us know, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Joshua will also raise us up with Joshua, and will present us with you, some at the beginning of the millennium and some at the end of the millennium, which we will look at in some later scriptures. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, and especially at this Feast of Tabernacles. We're being renewed day by day here, and it's exciting to see and understand what God will do during this time, the millennium. And this writer calls what we go through a light affliction. And we do suffer. But in the space of time, this writer understood that it was nothing in the space of time. You could put it all on the head of a pen in the space of time. And we understand that this writer suffered mightily. But he said it was a light affliction that he went through. And you understood that what it was just for a moment, because life goes by so fast, brother, and it's gone. And it's just for a moment in time for you and me in this physical body. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, let's notice what's being said. We have to look past the physical, the things that these physical eyes can see, and understand what our God is doing. And He is making it known to you, the Church of God, PKG. And that is why you are here at this Feast of Tabernacles, to learn what it will be like during the millennium, the reign of God's Son upon this earth. God says that He will bring about a wonderful time for man. And this is that beginning. This is that period of time, that 1,000 years. And we understand there will be 100 years at the end of the millennium. And we all look forward to that time. But during this millennium, the reign of God's Son upon this earth, we look so forward to when this will be here upon this earth. And it's a time when man will begin to learn peace and begin to understand more about their God. And it's just like Zechariah wrote about, a time when mankind can now learn about a way of life that brings about peace and happiness. And it brings about prosperity to man when they live God's way. So God says that we are to look past the things which are seen, but look at the things which are not seen. And we understand what this writer is saying. God said that the things which are seen are temporary. That's the temporary part. That's the wonderful part, because that passes away. And there's a better time coming. God tells us that we are like a fading flower, but the things which are seen are eternal. And that's a wonderful thing to understand, that what God is doing, that God is creating His family, that God is in the process of creating Elohim. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1, let's notice what is being said, because this gives all of us hope, because we understand about death. We understand what happens at death. And it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. And we do. We all want to shed this physical body and have that spiritual body that God tells us about in His book. And that says so much, these scriptures do. And we all look forward to being in a body without pain and without suffering. Verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked in sin, not living the way that God says to live our lives. That would be a horrible thing, to die in sin. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, and we are. We all have trials, and this physical body has a lot of pain and suffering that goes with it. And we want to be unclothed with this spiritual body, but further clothed with that body, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, real life. Real life in that spiritual body without all the pain and sufferings of this physical life. Verse 5. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. It's what God says. That God tells us that it is He who is preparing us. And He said, who has also given His Spirit, let's notice, as a guarantee. You have a guarantee from the great God of this universe. And I hope you understand what God is offering you, to be able to see all these events in our future that will unfold. to see the millennial reign upon this earth of God's Son, to see mankind come together and learn the correct way to live life that Zechariah told us about. God gave us His laws in His holy days, and it's a way of life for you and me, so that we can partake of what we are here celebrating, this Feast of Tabernacles, when God's Son will be here upon this earth. A wonderful time upon this earth. That's what the millennium will be, because of what will take place. When God pours out His Spirit upon all of mankind, and now mankind will have the opportunity to be in God's family, to become Elohim. Spirit life for in eternity. We understand what man is. We understand what man's nature is and what they have to overcome. And we understand that that will be here during the millennium for mankind. But the wonderful part is about what God will offer man beginning at the millennium. And we know that many will not want what God is offering them, and that's a hard thing to comprehend. But we know what is written in God's book. But this is the time that Satan will not be able to influence man. And man will only have his human nature to deal with, that nature that is hostile to the great God of this universe and His Son. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we should understand why we are here. Excuse me. We should understand why we have a Feast of Tabernacles. Why would God, you and me, have you and me learn about this feast that we are here celebrating? What is the purpose? And what is the millennium about? So why would God have us learn about this time and His plan? The millennium. Romans 8 and verse 18 tells us part of that reason. And it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation of mankind," is what it's speaking about, "awaits the manifestation of the sons of God." And this is the beginning of the millennium that is being spoken about. It's about the 144,000 that will be here at the beginning of the millennium. And this Feast of Tabernacles represents that time. And this is when that manifestation will begin, at the beginning of the millennium. "For the creation of mankind was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope." And we understand that man has free choice. And that's the only way that this can be brought about, is through that free choice. "Because the creation itself of mankind also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption," the bondage of destruction, "into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The bondage that is spoken about in God's book, that comes about from sin. And it comes from disobedience to God's way of life. And that leads to destruction and destructive lives in human beings. And you and I are witnesses of that very thing. We see this take place in people's lives that we have been associated with. And we see the destruction that takes place. And we understand that God created man in this way for a purpose. It says in Corinthians that we are sown in corruption, sown in destruction. So let's notice what he said back up in verse 7. It says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So this is what man has to deal with during the millennium, this very thing. That human mind is hostile to God in His ways. And the mind of man by nature is hostile against God. And God says it's not subject to the law of God. God gave two humans at the beginning, Adam and Eve. He gave them the way of life that they should live life. And we understand and know that story. And we know what happened. But because of what we just read in God's book, it gives you and me understanding of what took place and what the influences were upon those two humans. And we know that it did not take them long to choose a different way of life than what God had shown them. And we understand this because of what we just read, that man's mind is not subject to the laws of God. And it cannot be unless it's begotten by God's Holy Spirit. And then something happens to the mind. But it did not take man long to become corrupted. And we have read those stories all through God's book about man and the destruction that came from man. But it was God's purpose to make man that way, that mind of man would be naturally hostile to the ways of God. And we have read God's book, and we saw all those examples in the Old Testament of what took place and how they rebelled over and over. So the creation of the family of God requires something. And it is done through a free choice that man has. Free choice to choose the ways of God. And once one has to become at one with the great God of this universe. Everyone has to become in agreement with their God. And the Day of Atonement teaches us about this at-one-ment with the great God of this universe. So especially those of us in the Church of God, PKG, that is preparing for the Kingdom of God, the ones that are preparing for God's Son to come back to this earth, if anyone in God's church at this time is not living the way that God says that we are to live our lives, God says in this book that He will have no part of sin in those of His church when His Son returns. Those that will be born into God's family are at one with their God. That is what has to take place. Just like God said to Abraham, "Now I know you." So God has to know what we will do under any circumstances. God tells us that the millennium is the time when the first fruits, that 144,000, will become spirit beings. And then they will become part of the government of God upon this earth. And God says they will always have the Holy Spirit living in them, to have God dwelling in them for an eternity. It's an awesome thing to understand. So when God said that He would build a temple to dwell in, it becomes easy for you and me to see how the Church of God is the place where this takes place, where it is created. And it is in God's church that Elohim is created. God tells us in His book how His family will be created. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 20. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And God tells us how His family will be created. And He says, and are being built, better said, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Joshua Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So let's notice what is being said. In whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God. God's dwelling place, brother, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The temple of God is spoken of in God's book in so many different ways. God says that it is a place of His rest, God's rest. We know that God has been working for 6,000 years to create the first of His family. And it said, it's called Zion. It's called the Holy City. It's called Jerusalem. It's called the Temple of God. It's called the Kingdom of God. And we understand that it is also called the very family of God. We know what God said through Isaiah, the question that was asked. Where is the place of my rest? And you understand where God's rest is. You understand how it will take place. So let's turn over to Psalms chapter 132. Psalms 132. And we will see what God said through His servant David. God said that David was a man after His own heart. And he had so much wrote through David. And here in the book of Psalms, chapter 138 and in verse 8, God gives us more understanding. And He tells us about it in the book of Psalms. And it says, "O arise, O eternal, into your rest, you and the ark, the gathering of your strength." That's what it means. So this is a prophetic reference to God's rest that is gathered together in His strength. So this is a reference to His Holy Spirit and the power that God is using that Spirit to build His family, to produce what is created through His Holy Spirit, His family, the spiritual temple, the temple that will be here at the beginning of the millennium, with the reign of God's Son upon this earth. Verse 13, "For the Eternal has chosen Zion. He has declared it. He has desired it for His habitation, His dwelling place. And He says, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." So God had a plan from the very beginning to build His family that He would dwell in for an eternity. And it says God is going to dwell in His temple, Zion, which is the place of His rest. And He says God will always dwell in that family. Let's look at some of what John wrote concerning how God dwells in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll begin in verse 10. And it's where Christ was explaining what takes place. And in verse 10, John 14, and this is Christ speaking. And He said, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father?" And this is the questions that He was asking. "And the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me. He does the works." And in verse 15, Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter," speaking about the Holy Spirit, "that it may abide with you forever." God here through Christ, God revealed that it was His purpose to dwell in His family for an eternity. Forever, brethren. The world is oblivious to what we just read and what we understand. And they are also oblivious to what is about to take place upon this earth. I know that some look on the horizon and see what is taking place. They see all the things that are gathering together to bring about the return of God's Son to this earth, the millennium. There are some realizing that there's something very wrong with man and the way that all these nations are structured. But they have no idea what all of this means, what is taking place. Some understand that man could destroy every living thing that is upon this earth. Those weapons, I know the mind of man cannot comprehend what those weapons can actually do. The destruction that they could bring about. Only the Church of God understands the truth about what is about to take place upon this earth. We are the only ones that understand of what the return of Joshua Christ really means to mankind. The first 6,000 years was for the foundation of God's building, what God is creating, Elohim. And it was for the calling, it was for the molding and fashioning of those that would make up that foundation. The very beginning of God's government that would be established upon this earth at the beginning of the millennium. All those of old will be there. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. We read this about every Feast of Tabernacles. So let's go through it today because it tells us about the return of God's Son to this earth. When all those of old will be here, Daniel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the prophets of old. Too many to name. But this is that time. So in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and in the heading of this Bible, it says, the future house of God. That's what it says. And it says, it will come to pass in the latter days that the mountain, the government, of the Lord's house, the eternal God of this universe, will be established on the top of the kingdoms of this earth, the governments of this earth, and will be exalted above the hills. Speaking about the smaller kingdoms, the cities, the smaller governing bodies that are here. And let's see what God said would take place. All nations will flow to it. All nations, brethren. Many people will come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the eternal, the city of peace that has come to this earth. The government of God is here. Now a just government will be here. And that government will teach mankind the correct way to live life, the way that God says to live. It's no longer who puts on the best show wins. This is when true justice will begin to be established upon this earth. To the house of God of Jacob, let's notice, he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the city of peace, shall go forth the law from those that have become in the God family, to be a part of God's government upon this earth. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem is to go out from that city of peace that has come to this earth to bring peace to mankind. This is that beginning. And he will judge between the nations with the government that is here upon this earth, that just government for man, and rebuke many people. And let's notice what this is speaking about when it says rebuke many. Because we know the nature of man. God says they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And we understand what this is saying. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. So God tells us here that war will be a thing of the past. No more war. God will deal with Satan at the beginning of the millennium. And then at the end, we know about his fate. But for man, peace will finally be beginning here upon this earth, the millennium. The next 1,000 years will be for the molding and fashioning of those who will be added next to God's family. In everything during this 1,000 years, during this millennium, is for preparing for a time after this millennium, a 100-year period of time at the end for man. Everything during the millennium is to prepare for the next phase of God's plan. That's what the millennium is about. Preparation. And it's a time of work for the church of God and for those during the millennium. A time of work to prepare for the 100-year period of time at the end. And God tells us about a time when Joshua Christ's voice will go out. And all who are in the graves will hear his voice. And the millennium is the time that is preparing for what we call the Great White Throne, when a massive resurrection will take place upon this earth, so massive that we can not comprehend, so many that will be resurrected at the end. But the Feast of Tabernacles paints you and me a picture about the time of the millennium and the Great White Throne. And it paints us a picture of that last great day, the eighth day, the period of time at the end, the 100 years. And God has painted us a picture of his plan for you and me to give us understanding. The very plan that Satan did not like, that he rebelled over, this very plan that we are looking at today. But God has in his plan for man that wants to be in his family, those that will want what God will offer them to be in his family. God will offer them eternal life without any more pain, without any more suffering. No more tears, no more sorrow. And we cannot comprehend such a time. We cannot comprehend peace for an eternity in a spirit body. But God had it written in this book. We know that Satan did not like this plan. And he rebelled and took a third of the angelic beings, and they rebelled with him. But his days are now numbered. We know that he will be put in his prison because God says so. And he will be put in his prison for 1,000 years during the millennium. And after that prison sentence, we know his fate at the end. And then once his fate is sealed, peace will be restored for an eternity. The peace that God gave up. God gave those angelic beings free choice. And God has given you and me and all of mankind free choice. It's a hard thing to comprehend, but there will be those that will not choose what God will offer them. Even after seeing the millennium and what has taken place after 1,000 years upon this earth, they will just not submit to God's way of life. They will not choose God. Can you imagine what this earth will look like at the end of the millennium, after 1,000 years, where there have been no wars for 1,000 years, where there has been no destruction for 1,000 years, only creating for a purpose, for a massive resurrection that will take place? Can you imagine what this earth will look like creating everything upon this earth is for what is about to take place at the end of the millennium. That great resurrection that will take place. But all will have to live the way that God says. And that's the only way that peace can come about. And what Satan and those beings did is an example for you and me. That rebellion. To see and understand what they gave up. But God is going to have peace once again. And the millennium is the beginning of peace being restored to mankind. God knows this human nature that all of us have, all of mankind. God knows what all of us are like, all of man. He made us. And He made us this way. And He understands what we are capable of. God made us with free choice. But for those that do choose God's way of life, the way that He is offering, to become in the God family, to have eternal life, is a wonderful, wonderful gift, brethren. Let's turn over to Revelation 21, and let's look at an event that John tells us about. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 9. And it says, "There came unto me," let's see who it was, "one of the seven angels," and let's see what the angel had, who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So this is telling us of the time frame. And it says here, let's notice, "one of the seven angels who had the seven vials of the seven last plagues talked with me, saying, come here." And let's see what the angel was showing to John. And he said, "I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." So we know that it's said in many ways in this book. And here it is explained as the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. We also know it's the 144,000, the government of God, Mount Zion, city of peace, New Jerusalem. But here it is explained as the bride's wife. So John is being shown what is taking place. And the angel told John about the Lamb's wife that is coming to this earth and how it will be done. And it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." We know this is about God's kingdom. We know that it is about God's government that is coming to this earth. And it's being shown to John as the Lamb's wife. And we understand about these mountains and hills that are used in God's book. We understand that meaning. And we understand that it's talking about large kingdoms, small kingdoms, large nations, small nations, large cities and small cities. And he showed me, let's notice what it's being called here. That great city, Holy Jerusalem. So this is the way that the angel chose to show John. The holy city. We don't understand that it's about the kingdom of God. We understand it's about those that have become Elohim. And so it says, Holy Jerusalem. And we understand what is being said. And we understand that this can only be holy if God is in it. So John is being shown about this Holy Jerusalem, this holy city descending out of heaven from God. Let's notice, having the glory of God. Because God is in it. It's God's dwelling place that we read about early. And the Church of God, PKG, understands what is taking place. And they will understand what is taking place when this happens. Those that live into the millennium, and those that have been changed to spirit, they will understand what God is doing. And let's notice how it's explained to John. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So here, in this description that was shown to John, and the angel was using diamonds and jewels and the colors that those jewels produce. And we know how those jewels look when you turn it in the light and the different colors that appear and the brilliance that is there, those precious jewels. So that is how it will appear in the sky. And the way that it is explained in God's book is like a seer glass with those colors of those precious jewels, those diamonds and rubies. And mankind cannot understand what is taking place. We understand that this is a spiritual creation that is taking place. And man cannot see spirit. But mankind will know something is happening. There will be those signs in the sky. And God has it explained to John as a sea of glass mixed with those colors of those precious jewels, those colors of light that it produces. Verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And this city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light, in other words, the illumination of how to live, shall the nations walk. So this is what will be taught, the truth finally. And the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day. And there will be no night there in this city. And they will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God tells us about a final battle that will take place, and most call that Armageddon. And we understand about this description that was given to John about what man will see in the heavens. We know that mankind will probably believe that they are being invaded from outer space, that aliens are now overtaking this earth. And we can see why they would believe such a thing. God says that they are going to turn and fight, and they are going to try to destroy what they see in the sky. And it is massive what they see. And we understand that because we can see the angels' measurements. But they will see those signs in the sky, and they think that it's coming to destroy them. And it is. The governments, the kingdoms of this earth that we just read about, that Isaiah tells us about, is about to become the kingdoms, the governments of the great God of this universe. That's what is taking place. It's the beginning of the millennium. This is what was shown to John. They will see those dazzling signs in the sky. The bride, holy city, New Jerusalem, Zion. And what John was shown was about God's family, the first fruits, the 144,000, the first phase of God's plan for those becoming in His family. And this is the beginning of God's focusing on creating the rest of His family. It is the beginning of the millennium. Now, opportunity for those that live during the millennium to choose what God will offer them, to become in His family, to become Elohim. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. So the question is how will God dwell with them? God will now do this through His government, the 144,000 that have entered into God's family. They have now become Elohim. They are now spirit beings with spirit life, with eternal life. So let's turn over to Revelation 20, where it tells us about Satan and his time during the millennial reign of God's Son upon this earth. So let's look at Revelation 20. Most of us know it by heart, but it is that time of the millennium when God wants us to have understanding of what will take place during the millennium, the reign of His Son upon this earth. And in Revelation 20 and verse 1 it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Just notice how long. 1,000 years. The millennium, brethren. He will be in his prison for the whole millennium, for 1,000 years. He and his demons cannot influence man now for that 1,000 years. God had it said this way, that he cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. And this is where it tells us that he cannot deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years should be finished, fulfilled, the millennium. And after this, he must be let loose a little season. And God lets you and me know about this time and what will take place. We know that he will wreak havoc once again on mankind. And so many will follow him, brethren. And we cannot understand this. We understand that God says it will be short-lived. He's going to be let loose for a little while at the end to do what he will do. But God had it written in his book about this event, and it says, there will be so many that they will encompass the breadth of the earth. It's a lot of people. But that is the way it was shown to John and wrote in God's book for you and me. Let's notice what else happens during this time, the beginning of the millennium. God says in verse 4 through John that John saw thrones and they sat upon them. And let's notice, judgment was given to them. No more who puts on the best show. Real judgment is here through God's government, through God's family that is now here upon this earth. And I saw the souls of them who were, and it says, beheaded in the King James. But we know that it just simply means cut off. That's what it means. And we know that when you're called, you're cut off from the rest of this world. You live a different way of life now. And you become persecuted for what you believe. And you suffer and have trials because of your obedience to God, obedience to a way of life that is hostile to man. God tells us about it. So it gives you and me understanding why we are persecuted. Let's notice. And have the witness of Joshua. And for the word of God, and have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received the mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived, let's notice, and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The millennium. The 144,000 will become the government of God upon this earth. And it says, let's notice, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. And then it goes on and tells us about these that live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Talking about the millennium. And this explains the rest about the rest of mankind that is dead. And it tells us when they will be resurrected back to life. Some to spirit life and some to physical life. It says, but the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Everything during the millennium will live and die, mankind, during that 1,000 years. And then a great, great resurrection will take place. So massive that we cannot comprehend such a thing. Verse 6. God says this in His book about those in that first resurrection. And it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. And we understand why. Because they are now spirit beings with spirit life for an eternity. And let's notice the rest, because it tells us what their jobs will be during that millennium, that 1,000 years upon this earth. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him 1,000 years. So it tells us that 144,000, the first fruits, that they are blessed and holy. And on these, the second death has no power. God tells us that it is appointed to men once to die. But after this, the judgment. We understand man dies and then they are resurrected to a time of judgment. The 100 years of judgment at the end. So let's look at what John was shown about judgment. So let's look at John chapter 5 in verse 26. So let's turn over there. John chapter 5. John 5, verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, so has He given to the Son in order to have life in Himself. And let's notice. And has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all are in the graves will hear His voice. Just what we spoke about earlier. And will come forth. We understand that there are different resurrections that will take place. And we understand that everyone is resurrected in their order. We have that understanding. But the millennium is the time when God prepares this earth for that massive resurrection that will take place at the end. And this earth will be prepared for 1,000 years for that great, great resurrection. And it says, and they will come forth, they who have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And at the time of the great white throne, when all that are dead are going to hear the voice of Christ, we know that 144,000 have already heard that voice. And they are here as spirit beings. God has given you and me understanding that there are going to be some changed to spirit when they hear the voice of Christ. And they will now have eternal life. And we also know that some are going to be resurrected to judgment in a physical body. This is that great white throne judgment of 100 years. Some that lived during the millennium will be alive just like they will be when Christ returned to this earth. Going to be some who are going to be alive that God has said, now I know you. Just like it He told Abraham. And they will be changed. And there will be some that are alive at the end of the 1,000 years that are going to be changed in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, changed from mortal to immortal, to spirit beings. So God has painted you and me a beautiful picture of His plan for man. Those that will want what God will offer them. All those through the millennium who have overcome, who have gone through a period of judgment, just like you and me. All of those in God's church. So those who live and die during that period of time, they're going to be those that will be resurrected as spirit beings with eternal life and become a part of the family of God. God says that there is coming a time when all that are in the graves will hear His voice, His Son's voice. And some are going to be spirit beings. Some are going to be resurrected to judgment, the great white throne judgment that God tells us about in this book. The purpose of the millennium, the purpose to prepare for that great white throne that will take place. To prepare this earth for 1,000 years, brethren. No more wars. No more destruction. Can you imagine what it will look like at the end of that 1,000 years, the millennium? Let's turn over to chapter. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 tells us what else will take place at the beginning of the millennium. You would think with God's Son coming to this earth that all would want what God will offer them. But at the beginning, Zechariah tells us about what will take place with man. Because of what some have been taught all their lives. Zechariah 14, it's where God gives us an overview of what will take place. And this is at the beginning of God's Son to this earth, back to this earth. We know that there are some, especially in the Middle East, that have been taught different beliefs all their lives. And it's been generation after generation. And it will be hard for them to accept what is taking place. And we can understand that, but Zechariah addresses these issues here that will take place. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it says, it will come to pass. Let's see who it's talking about. Let's notice. That everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. We know what mankind will do when they see those signs in the heavens. And we know that they will turn and fight against what they saw in the heavens. And we understand their reactions after these events take place. But now Joshua Christ is upon this earth. And they cannot accept what is taking place upon this earth at this time. But it will change, as we know. And it come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts. So, let's notice who they are to worship. The great God of this universe. That's who they are to worship. God Almighty, Yahweh, the eternal God of this universe. And it said, that name is said in many ways in God's book. But we know the order. It's God the Father. And then it's Joshua Christ. We understand that it is always God first with you and me. And it will have to become God first with all that will be in the God family. God is going to make this earth beautiful again. It's going to become a beautiful, beautiful earth. Like the Garden of Eden once again. God will use 1,000 years rule of His Son upon this earth to create this earth for that massive resurrection that will take place. Man will be offered the correct way to live during that 1,000-year reign of God's Son upon this earth. We know that many are going to make the wrong choices. They will not choose God's way of life, because we know what is written in this book. We understand that human nature will still be here during this millennium. God tells us, and we understand about this nature that is in mankind. We understand that man is naturally hostile to God. We know that God is going to stop all wars during this millennium, this 1,000 years. And we understand that this in itself will bring about much change to this earth. The human nature that is here with mankind, and even though it's brewing inside of some of man, they cannot bring about war anymore, because God will not allow it. A new government is here upon this earth. But we understand at the end, when Satan is released, those that did not agree with God will be quick to join that being. And there will be so many that it encompasses the face of the earth. Let's notice what the punishment, though, at the beginning will be for those. And it will come to pass again. Let's notice who it is. Those who don't come up to worship. Can you imagine such a thing at the return of God's Son? God says there will be no rain. And that's their punishment. And so we can see that God will control the rain. And if the family of Egypt will not go up, it's the way it's written, if they will not keep the feast before God on their own and come not, in other words, if they are disobedient to God and they will not accept what has taken place, not having rain, let's notice, they still refuse to obey God, there will be the plague. We know the stories of the past about those plagues that God poured out upon man. We know how God used those plagues. We know that those plagues brought much death. We know those stories. We know that many died during those plagues. And here they are going to die also. It's going to be death because they refuse to obey their God. It's a hard thing to comprehend. And so those who don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the feast that you and I are here celebrating, there will be a plague, and it will bring about death. And it's always death that gets man's attention. If they don't come up to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles, they will eventually die because of the plagues. So God is saying here there's going to be death in those nations that will not come into obedience and come to worship before Him at the Feast of Tabernacles. God says that man will be humbled, all of man, everybody. And this is the beginning of man when he will be humbled after Christ returns. Goes on to say, the Eternal will smite those who come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, but it's for all that will not come up. And the punishment of all nations, see the rest that is written, of all nations, not just them, who come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Eventually, at the end, when everyone is spirit and God's plan for man is complete, and it's a time that leads up to a new heaven and a new earth that's written about in God's book, when there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. We know it's a process of time before that takes place. And it's a process of time for 1,000 years, the millennium, when truth will be here that we read about it at the very beginning of this sermon. And now truth has been here for 1,100 years. And it's a process to accomplish God's plan for man. God said that there will be no more sorrow. God said there will be no more crying. God said there will be no more pain. God says, for the former things will pass away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. It's what God says. When everyone is spirit, when there will be no more sorrow, when there will be no more crying and no more pain. God's plan for his family of spirit beings is complete. And when he says, I make all things new, now the creation can start. A new beginning is now here. And all those things that we see through that Hubble telescope, all those planets and stars that are out in this universe, everything that we can see through that Hubble telescope, and it is limited to what we can see. But the 1,000 years, the millennium, is for the molding and fashioning of those that will be added to God's family, added to Elohim, to the family of God. So that is why God has you and me celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles every year. To teach us. To teach those that he has called at the end of this age. So we will know his plan for mankind. And you are the most blessed of all of mankind to live at this time in God's plan. To see all those events that are about to take place upon this earth. To see God's Son return to this earth. To see God's kingdom set up upon this earth. To see man begin to be taught the truth. The truth about the great God of this universe and his Son and what took place. To offer mankind the choice to choose his way of life. Eternal life forever in a spiritual body, with peace forever, without any pain, without any suffering, and without any conflict. And this human brain cannot comprehend that this time. No more drama, only peace forever. And now, those that will be there will see what God's plan for all that we see, all that we can see through that Hubble telescope. And now everyone that is there can see it firsthand in a spirit body. What an awesome plan God has offered you.